We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also very happy to have back on the program once again the man we like to call,
as usual,
our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he's been here for a long time. He and Marconi started together back in the day. So he's been doing the show with us for a long time. He's stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month, and we always have a lot of fun when he is here talking about food. And there is some topic, he picks some topic, something that he'd like to talk about. There's no rule about having to stick to that, but that gives us some place to start. And then people call in and they exchange stories and cooking tips and recipes, and we sort of talk about whatever that thing is. Yes. And he's been pickled lately. And so that's what's been on his mind, pickling. And I thought, well, now that's pretty interesting, since that's something that a lot of people all over the world do. And the question is, well, you know, yeah, you can make a big deal of this. And if you go through the canning procedure, that gets kind of complicated. But you can make pickles. And if you are willing to eat them right away, within a week or something like that.
A day.
Well, see, that's the problem. I think he'd say if they're really good, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about pickling, and particularly about things that you can do that are really, really quick and easy kind of pickling. And questions are welcome. Comments are welcome. Recipes are welcome. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you want to send us an email, you can do that. willill.talk@illinois.edu. So, pickling.
So there we were.
So there you were. So tell me about now. Why are you?
Well, you may wonder why I came. I dug in my files, because here's a very old recipe that I got from Sunset Magazine, gosh, sometime in the early '60s, and I have always enjoyed it because it's been a wonderful little quick side dish to go with parties and what do you get before pasta? Antipastas, you know, things like that. And I don't really know its origin. I kind of somehow thought it was French, but maybe it really isn't French. But I'm going to give you this recipe because this is what started me out on all of this. A pound and a half of small white boiling onions, and you can get those, by the way, frozen, so you don't have to go through all the trouble of cutting them and boiling them and taking this off and doing it.
Yeah,
no,
right,
they're already
right,
there. Yeah. And then a half a cup of olive oil and dry white wine, a half a cup, and a third of a cup of white wine vinegar, 2 teaspoons of salt, and 2 teaspoons of thyme leaves. Now, I do leave out the salt. A teaspoon of pepper, 1 bay leaf, a small clove of garlic, a half a cup of raisins, and some chopped parsley. Now, this particular technique is different from a couple of the others that I want to explain to you, but you put all of the vegetables with some lemon juice if you don't want white wine. And and you can use water and lemon juice if you don't want to put in the wine. You need vinegar and salt and pepper, and the onions. And that's just the onions. And you simmer those for 10 minutes. And then you add the mushrooms and simmer those for 5 minutes with the onions in it, or until the onions are just tender. And then remove them from the heat and add the raisins, and refrigerate for at least 12 hours. And that's pretty quick. And it's really delicious. And you say, how could something that simple and that fast be that good? Well, so I waited around a few times. About 4 weeks ago, I got freaked out again by Jamie Oliver. And this is Jamie Oliver's recipe, and I like it a little bit better. And that's what this one right here is. Mm-hmm. It takes two things that you have to do. You make a pickling liquid, which is next to nothing, a quart of cider vinegar or white vinegar, and a quart of water and 2 teaspoons of salt. Then that is the pickling liquid. Then you make a pickling marinade in another pan, which is 2 cups of olive oil, 5 cloves of garlic peeled and sliced, and 1 fresh red chili deseeded and chopped. Now, to that, I add crushed allspice, and I didn't have any pepper that peppercorns. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I went to my Alton Brown kitchen, and I got Grains of Paradise. Grains of Paradise is a very, 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 very old form of pepper. I mean, it was what was used for pepper. That's why they were hunting for the source of peppers. But they had these Grains of Paradise. Well, they're once again available at 16 prices, of course. But they're delicious, absolutely delicious. I crush them. So I like to put allspice and these peppercorns in, as well as the bay leaf. And I like thyme. I don't necessarily like the herb de Provence to put all of that in. You can do too much. But anyway, that's in the pickling marinade. Then you choose the vegetables that you want and the herbs that go with it if you want special combinations, such as eggplants, mushrooms, zucchinis, fennel bulbs, small onions, and peppers. And you cut those into convenient sizes, either julienne slices or whatever. And you put those into the pickling liquid, and you cook them for 3 minutes. You bring it to a boil and cook it for 3 minutes. Then you strain them out of the pickling liquid and put them in the pickling marinade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. As soon as they're in there, they're hot, and they're going to pick up all of the juices from the oil and the vinegar and such. So the combinations of every recipe that I have is vinegar and water and sugar at least, and maybe then the inclusion of oil. The Greeks use that for making a sauce that goes on to horotiki, which is red vinegar, wine vinegar, and olive oil and oregano. It's just put onto onions and tomatoes and feta cheese, onions and tomatoes and cucumbers and feta cheese. And that's a salad, but that's the same thing as you're doing because you're putting this pickling juice over these things and they soak it up. And I remember this, of course, from my childhood. I always remember from childhood. I must have had a very interesting childhood.
I guess.
Because I'm always remembering these things. Mother would make a Pennsylvania Dutch dish of onions and cucumbers and would make it and put it in the icebox and wouldn't serve it the first day. She served it the second day. And she always liked them wilted and limp and fragrant with all those tastes. I always thought you were supposed to eat that fresh right off of the bat. But we should make them and they'd be gone. I watched her make them, then they'd appear the next day, and so she always kept them out one day before she served them. But oh, I love that taste. It's sugar and vinegar. I know that every culture uses sugar and vinegar. I laughed so hard when I discovered that the Chinese were using exactly the same combination to make it. And in Japan, the same combination, vinegar, sugar, and water, or maybe wine, or maybe not too much else. But that is what mixed these vegetables. So I got very pleased by watching Jamie do this, and so I went out and started making some exactly the same. And the thing that's interesting about them, and here's another situation, was that I took some Indian cooking classes a long time ago, and there are some fantastic pickles that are made instant out of carrots and mustard oil and lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
Those. And I remarked how delicious they were. I said, gee, these would be nice to snack on. Oh, yes. whenever you're hungry, really hungry, and you haven't got time to make food, you have a fresh pickle, and that appeases your appetite right at that moment. And I thought, wow, what a thing to have around, what a thing to snack on, because then you can make it to whatever intensity you want in terms of sugar. I haven't tried it because I'm not sure about the chemical mix, but I suppose you could easily use an imitation sugar if you were trying to watch sugar. But it's that combination of the sweet and sour that go together that is what is very exciting to mm-hmm. taste. Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
See, I think this is interesting because as I thought about it, I realized, well, what we're talking about here is a food preservation
yes.
technique, but it also produces something that really people really like. They really like the way that it tastes.
Yes.
So I don't know if we really think so much about it as either using a brine or an acid bath. That's a food preserver. You
yes.
soak
yes,
stuff in that.
Yes.
And that apparently also some of the other things, some of the spices and things we like to put in there, I mean, not only do we like the way that they taste, but they're also antimicrobial agents.
All of the above.
So it's a way of trying to keep stuff from spoiling, and then at the same time it produces something where people taste it and they say, hey, that's pretty good. You know, they really like that sharp little sharp sweetness, or sometimes it's salty if it's a brine kind of thing.
Now, almost all of the cultures like to put pickles with cheese. And so when you stop and think about plowman's lunch in England,
oh yeah,
a pickled mm-hmm. onion, a chunk of cheese, and a piece of bread, and that is it. What a nice combination that is. Of course, you go out and try to buy those onions, and they're $2.50 in a little tiny jar from Cross and Blackwell. They're nice, but you can make your own, and you should make your own, and have them around. Many of the recipes say have these with cheese, and there are some French ones that like these mixed vegetables with little cheeses, mm-hmm. and for the antipastos and things like that. So that was my inspiration, and I'm very pleased with the stuff that comes from all of this.
Yeah.
And I know that there are folks that have done a lot of this kind of cooking, and I'm sort of curious as to what they're making.
Well, and again, I think that the great thing about these things is that they're not complicated. They don't take a lot of time. You pretty much make it, and it's done.
Yeah.
And then you can put it in a container and put it in the fridge, and it's there, and it's pretty much ready
and
to go.
Keep it a week, maybe.
And yeah, and you can keep it a little bit, but if you make a relatively small amount,
you make a small amount.
You
make it and you eat it.
Yeah. All right. Doyle Moore is here. He's a man we like to call our chef in residence for a long time. He's been here stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about food and cooking. And if you have some kind of pickle-related recipe or story or something you'd like to contribute, that's kind of what we're talking about here. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana is the number. We do also have a toll-free line, and that is good. Anywhere that you can hear us, we're at 800-222-9455. And also, if you would like to do it, you can send an email. That's also an option. will-talk@illinois.edu. So I have to see what it is that now you brought here. And I can see some things in here I recognize. I see the onions. I see bell pepper.
Yes.
There are some other things here that I'm not exactly
There's
sure.
There's a slice of fennel.
Ah, okay.
And a piece of parsnip.
Good intentions, butter no parsnips.
And well, but the thing is, they take on a nice character.
Mm-hmm. Yes, here I am, ladies.
Well, there it is. There's the fennel.
Oh, that's a fennel. Oh, that's pretty big for.
Well, use
trying to stab it with the
use your fingers
toothpick. Yeah, it's good. I'll go for a piece of green pepper here.
Yeah.
That is extremely good.
It's extremely good.
It's kind of tart. It is tart,
but not offensive, and doesn't put you off.
That's really nice, and it is that's the sweet and sour thing. It's
yep.
a combination of the
yep.
It's clear it's got plenty of vinegar, but also a little bit sweet. And there's a there's a kind of herbal thing going on.
That's allspice.
Oh.
That's allspice and pepper and probably thyme. That's what's in that one.
Some green leafy item.
That's the thyme.
Mm. That's very good. That's very good. And so, and this is Jamie Oliver's?
Yes.
That one that you
yes,
mentioned.
Yes, that's the one that's the
and
one
that's
that
the
I
one,
made.
So you just quickly cook it in the
3 minutes.
The
put the vegetables in the liquid, which was vinegar and water and a little bit of salt. Now, the function of salt, there are other ways of doing this. One of the ways is to salt all the vegetables and then pack them in a jar and wait 24 hours. And the salt, by osmosis, extracts the moisture and makes the vegetables limp and ready to accept the vinegar taste. Well, all that's taken care of by 3 minutes in boiling water, because that limps the vegetables just enough. They're still crunchy tender, and then they get more limp after you put them in the marinating liquid. You see, those weren't too crunchy.
Well, that's the pepper. It still had some crunch to it.
It has a crunch to it, yeah.
Which is also, I think, kind of nice that that's in addition, you get that texture, and that's one of the things that you look for in your pickle, in your conventional dill pickle.
Yes,
that it's got some crunch to it. Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Mr. Vlasic man. Yes, that's right. Very, very good. That's very good, and so that it sounds like you could. You know, total prep time is, I don't know.
3 minutes plus chopping the vegetables.
Yeah, so you got to chop the vegetables. You give them the hot bath.
Yep.
You put them in the liquid.
And that's it.
You're done.
And you could stir them around in there and munch on them right away, because they're going to be dressed like a dressing. You know, if you put that on, it would be like eating a fresh salad quickly. But then I have mine. I don't put them in the refrigerator. It's got oil and vinegar and all that on top of it, and it's sitting out on my countertop with a fork right next to it. And I munch on them about 4 or 5 times a day and look forward to it. Oh, a little taste. Oh, yes, that'd be good. You deserve a little taste. Fine, I do that. Chomp, chomp.
Well, if there are folks who are listening who have a story or a recipe, to offer 333-9455 for Champaign Urbana, toll free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, how would you? What sort of things would you think this would work? What would you, aside from just snacking as you happen to pass by? What sorts of things would you do? Would you like to do with this, or would you like to pair them up?
I'll tell you, a roast pork, a pork tenderloin. In slices, this as a side dish would be really quite wonderful. And you probably could play around a little bit and make some with a lot more red pepper. Red pepper with some of the meats would be a nice, so it's you kind of get a hot taste rather than just the vinegar and sugar. And then leave out the sugar in some and have only that rich vinegar taste and hot spices. You could make that, but they're really. Again, the Pennsylvania Dutch had 7 sweets and 7 sours on the table, so they had lots of pickles and lots of preserves and lots of things, and they were always at the table as a condiment that was used, and so it would be used in that manner. And I mean, we still have. Pickles, but those are the ones that were made and canned and put away, and this is a totally different sort of a different way of eating, but the tastes are similar. Pickles are used in Japan and China very, very much. One as a beginning to the meal. There's a pickled vegetable that I like very much from Japan that is called the red and white. Because it's made up of carrots and daikon radish, but all that goes on it is a cup of sweet vinegar, which is made by putting rice vinegar and a tablespoon of sugar and then some water. That's all there is to that liquid. And The only trouble with that with that delicious taste is that you have to get a Ben Reiner, which is I love it. I love it. The cooking shows, they call them
mandolins.
They call them mandolins. Now, a mandolin is correct for that big $128 piece that sits out on, and that is a mandolin, and it is called a mandolin because the act of
It's sort of like
of slicing
like
it is like playing a mandolin.
Okay. Yeah.
But the Japanese have a sharper instrument called a Ben Reiner, B-E-N-R-I, I think it's R-I-N-E-R. Now, I've had one for years and years and years, and I looked them up on the internet, and you can still buy them. They don't necessarily aren't always in an Asian store. But I bought mine over the internet, and I bought two or three and gave them away as presents. I laugh because everyone on the cooking shows are using those. They still call them a mandolin, but I recognize it as the plastic Ben Reiner. Well, it has a comb that you slice through, and it makes instant shred. And oh boy! And you can do there's a fine one and a coarse one. The fine one is about a 1/16 of an inch, and the coarse one is about an 1/8 of an inch.
Yeah.
And you slice the vegetables through that, and then all you do is you salt them and put water on them and wash them off, and then put the vinegar and on it and serve it in a little cluster in the bowl at the very beginning of the meal, and that is instant. That is an instant pickle.
Yeah.
And it tastes so good. Tastes so good.
I have one of those Ben Reiner's, and
do you?
That it's very handy.
It's very sharp.
It's very sharp, so you have to be careful. So there's when you're doing your slicing, there's a plastic piece that you use
to
hold the thing that you're slicing
.
Because you could very easily slice off
you
the
could,
tip of your fingers.
But keep your head with you.
But the nice thing about it is that they're not very expensive because the only metal parts are the blade parts. They're plastic, so they're easy to clean. I think probably you could put them in your dishwasher.
Oh, I do. Yes, you're right.
And the way that you change the part that does the cutting, whether you want it. The different kind of
two
cuts.
Two screws in the back
that
tighten it up or loosen it up.
And it's a really handy thing, and it makes these nice cuts.
And, parenthesis,
yes.
It's perfect for making shaker lemon pie because you slice the lemons in that paper thin,
yes.
And it is a mind-boggling.
I've used it to slice lemons that I would then, when you're roasting a chicken.
Oh, yes.
You slice your lemons really thin, and then you pull up the skin, and you put the lemon slices underneath the skin, in between the skin, and so you can do that, and you put some little seasonings in there.
Why,
and
it's that's multitaskable.
Really nice. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, not only can you do pickles, but you can do your shaker lemon pie.
Unbelievable. Anyway, we have a caller here.
Good.
We're about halfway through. We have a caller. It's someone in Urbana. Let's talk with them on line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, I never had one of those things, but it sounds like it would go exactly with what I was going to call in to talk to about, the easiest pickle recipe ever.
Yes.
You go ahead and get your cloths and dills, and you eat all the pickles, and then you take the juice and put more vegetables in it. And I've put carrots in it. I've put onions. I've put cauliflower. You could probably put peppers in it, but you want to slice them thin.
Yeah.
And then you leave them in the refrigerator for a week, and they come out, and they're pickles, and they're wonderful.
And you didn't have to really fuss with them.
All you do is slice your vegetables and put it in the juice.
I save the juice that I use. I don't throw it away, but the vegetables tend to soak up the vinegar a bit. So I kind of juice it up a little bit more with vinegar each time I put the vegetable. But the oil
extracts the vinegar. So
exactly,
it
does. And it would get very the juice would get kind of weak, so I would put new vinegar in. The oil doesn't dissipate, and the water and the spices are already in that. But yes, you use the juices that you've got, and
sometimes I do it with olive brine too. I'll just stick sliced pickles and sliced carrots. And when I mean sliced really, really thin, as thin as you can get it. Well, really, as thick as you can get it with a carrot slicer.
Oh, yes, yes.
A carrot.
And then you can julienne them up. Well, you get a Ben Reiner, and you'll have them zip, 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 and they'll be right there.
All right. Thank you.
All yes. Right, thanks for the call. See, that's recycling, right?
Well, it is
recycling. Brilliant.
It is.
I always, you know, when you buy store-bought pickles, I think probably most people, they eat the pickles, and when they're done, they just pour that stuff down the drain.
Yes, they do. I know they do. I generally save the sweet pickle juice and put that, but I'm making potato salad anyway. I often dump it into the potato salad. And she gave me another thought, like, oh, wow, marinating cheeses in the olive oil, in exactly the same liquids. You could drop balls of mozzarella and goat cheeses and such things and have them pickled, and that's another good taste.
That's interesting.
Yes, so that's don't throw your pickle juice away.
See, I guess I was going back to thinking about your combining the taste of pickles and cheese, and I was thinking about Greek salad.
Exactly.
I guess I just found myself thinking that you hear Jamie's pickles would be – I could – you see them using them almost like a dressing.
Yes, indeed.
To make a bed of lettuce.
Yes.
Put your pickles on top of
In fact, he did exactly that.
And
that
then I would put a little
uses.
Feta cheese
yep.
on there,
yep.
and you'd be good to go. And it would be nice with a little, as Emerald used to say, a little of the pimentum weather in there, you know, maybe some dried well, there is a fresh chili in your marinade for this, but I think, you know, a little bit of the dried chili would be nice in
like
that. Give it a little sharpness. So that's very good. We have somebody who said that the recipes you gave went too fast for them to get.
Oh, all right.
We can try to give them again. And I think we can try to. Unfortunately, now we don't have somebody to has the time to put them on the web like we used to do. We had a volunteer who used to do that. But I think we could try to see if we can have something that we could send to people. So if folks
these you can Xerox.
Oh, okay. So we can do that. If someone
sure.
wants to
sure.
to write us a postcard,
sure.
Drop us a line, send us an email, we can get those recipes out. But I do want to mention, ask you about one thing that the person who wrote in was asking about was for these things that I guess you would call a refrigerator pickle. Those things were basically you make them up, you put them in a jar, and then you refrigerate
right.
them. How long can you keep them for?
Most of the recipes say keep them for you can keep them for a month or 3 weeks to a month. But I don't. Well, in the first place, mine are gone before then anyway.
You eat them before then.
And I don't have an extreme end time. Since they're in an open container, you know, they're susceptible to aging and such
yeah.
things, but
so probably though, if you had a you know a good say a good glass container with a
I have one with the top that comes down, you snap
that
it
has
on.
That little
yeah.
and has a
yeah.
rubber
yeah.
O-ring or one
right.
of those kind of deals.
I had those for
yeah.
2 weeks, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, I would certainly think that you could certainly keep them for a week, if not two. I think would be safe enough. And if you make it in a if you like it and you make a relatively small batch, as sounds like you do, chances are you're probably going to eat them before they're going to go bad.
Right.
That's sort of the beauty of it.
Right.
All right. And also, actually, the person said in just added the fact that one thing that they really like is pickled beets.
Oh, pickled beets, yeah. Now, but those need to be cooked. Now, you can make a fresh pickled beet. Yeah, in using Jamie's recipe, you can make a fresh pickled beet. Doesn't have to be a cooked one.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm remembering that. Remembering that now, I think they were sliced up thin.
I guess fresh pickled beets, it'd be awful crunchy.
Not awful crunchy. Yeah.
Well,
yummy crunchy.
Well, all right. It would be quite crunchy.
Quite crunchy.
Quite crunchy. All right, let's talk with somebody in Bloomington, Illinois, line two. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just reminded by the last caller who reused her pickle juices.
Yes.
Of one of my favorites that I haven't done for a while. Hot pickled Texas okra.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Then sweet baby carrots. Throw them in the juice, nuke them for a minute, let them cool down, and those things disappear probably within a half hour. They don't make it much longer than that.
Isn't that wonderful?
But the hot and spicy with the sweetness of carrots,
yes.
Oh, it's such a perfect.
Yes, carrots are anonymous until they have some flavors around them, and then they're really quite delicious.
Yeah.
That's really, yeah, oh, hot pickled okra. Yeah, that's a very Texas thing, isn't it?
Well, do you have a recipe for that, or can you kind of talk about how it is that you do that?
Well, no.
I'm the lazy way. I go to the store and
go
buy
to the store and buy them. Yeah, and okay. But she's reusing the liquid.
Oh, so you're reusing. Oh, yeah. I see. So you're getting your pickled okra store bought, and then after you do that, then you put your carrots in that liquid.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. then you
yeah.
end up with nicely pickled carrots, and you end up using liquid. I got you.
Yeah.
That's good.
But the technique of doing them is that you would boil those. And you'd have the hot liquid, and you'd have them boiled, and then you put them into the container and then pour the boiling liquid over them in the jar if you wanted to make your own. So then you would have hot peppers and vinegar and not necessarily any sugar in the okra one. Maybe a little, but not too much.
Interesting. If I grow some okra this summer, I might well try that.
Oh, do that. Use the baby okra. And look these things up on internet. I mean, they're not hiding things too much. They're very easy to find. Find a pickled okra, or call Paula Dean. She'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah, tell them that Doyle told you to call.
Thank you.
All right,
yes,
thank
indeed.
You. Other questions, recipes, stories are welcome. We're here this morning on Focus. I'm David Inge, and the guest here is Doyle Moore. He's the guy that we like to call our chef in residence because for a long time, pretty much the whole time we've been doing this show, he's been a regular part of it to stop by, and we talk about food and cooking. We always have a good time. And we hear from lots of different folks who tell us about some of their food memories and food experiences and sometimes share recipes. And each show has a kind of a theme. That doesn't mean that we have to hold to it, but it has a kind of a theme. And we encourage people to call in with recipes and stories. By the way, let me mention something else here. That as it is, I think people are thinking more about healthy diet, healthy lifestyle. That certainly means that people are wanting to make things at home and avoiding eating out and avoiding processed foods. However, you know, sometimes you can always use some new tips and some new information on how exactly to go about it. Many people do know that, and our own Jay Pierce is putting together a program that will be running in June on our television station, and he's interested in, he's looking for some education is what he's looking for, to be taught about healthy cooking. So he's looking for recipes for delicious, nutritious, and expeditious dinners. So what you want to do is send that along to Jay Pierce at WILL 300 North Goodwin, and the zip is 61801, and we're in Urbana. Or you can email them to our website, and then he's talking about putting together a little book to benefit Illinois Public Media, and maybe you'll, in fact, even get to teach Jay how to prepare your recipe on television. And believe me, he needs a lot of help. So if anybody who wants to be involved in this project, it should be a lot of fun. So again, you can mail recipes in, you can email them to the website, and then you can look for Chef Jay coming soon to a public television station near you. And here on this program, of course, we're always open to calls and questions and comments, 333-9455 and toll free. 800-222-9455. Can you pickle anything? Almost anything.
Actually, well, since any fresh vegetable, some of the things if you don't want the crispness of them, then you want to do a pickling that would cook them for a period of time, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can pickle anything because it is a kind of preservation. So that you aren't getting the fresh vegetable, but you're getting the taste of a fresh vegetable in this pickling liquid. And its intent to do that was to make it last a little bit longer than sorry they've mm-hmm. come and gone and you can't do it. So yeah, you can pickle anything, and I think in hunting I found that almost everything was pickleable.
And it's something that all over the world, but a lot of different places, different food cultures have that as a technique, as a thing they do.
Yes.
All around Europe, certainly in Asia. I don't know, in Latin American cooking, is there much pickling?
Oh. Page 23B.
He said very excitedly.
Yes, page 23B. In fact, that was one of the things that started me out. Let me see if I can find that one real quick. It was the two hot chili peppers,
The tamales.
Yeah. Here's a killer. This one was the first one I made last week. Austrian pickled red onions. Now this is almost identical to the two hot tamales, red onions that they use that as a side thing in Mexican cooking.
Oh, okay.
But this one is from Austria. It is half a cup of apple cider vinegar, 1/3 of a cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of black peppercorns, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 6 whole allspices, and 1 small clove of garlic, and a bay leaf. And then it takes only 1 onion that you cut it in half, and then you make real thin slices. So you cook the vinegar and the water and the sugar and the peppercorns and the salt and the allspice and the garlic and the bay leaf. You put all of that in and you bring it to a boil. And then you add the thin sliced onions and return it to a boil. And it doesn't take any longer than that. And then remove it from the heat and put it in a jar and cover it and let it stand for 24 hours. And they will keep up to 2 weeks in the fridge. Mm. That was a Vegetarian Times recipe from last month, and that's what turned me on to all this again. Like, oh wait, I remember when the red onions were very special to a lot of Mexican cooking. So I found the two hot chili peppers,
the tamales. Well, they may be hot chili peppers. I don't know.
Well, but there you are, pickled turnips and beetroot. But
and this it says this is a Middle Eastern thing.
Yes.
For pickled turnips. So there again, you have turnips and beets and salt and water and some lemon juice. So this is a brine cure kind of thing.
Yes.
And where it says you wash your turnips and beets, don't peel them, slice them. Put the salt and water in a bowl, stir, and leave to stand until the salt has dissolved. Then you sprinkle the beetroot with lemon juice, put that in the bottom of some sterilized jars, and then you top them with the turnip, and you pack them very tightly, and then you pour over the brine, and you seal the jars and leave them in a cool place for a week. And that's it. So again, that's a really simple thing, and it's a brine
instant
cure.
Yeah.
But it does also have, so it's got salt, water, and a little lemon juice. So that doesn't have any sugar in it. That doesn't have a sweet thing.
Yeah, I said, you know, sometimes the sugar is not there. And it's going to be the salt that does the curing, which is another reason why salt was very important.
All right. Let's talk with somebody else here. McLean County, line 4.
Good morning.
Hi.
Couple of questions. The recipe you started to give, how much vinegar, by the way?
On which recipe?
The onion. I just got on.
The onions. 1/2 a cup of cider vinegar.
Okay.
And a third of a cup of sugar.
Okay. Oh, third cup. I wrote down 1 cup.
Yeah, 1/3 of a cup of sugar, okay, and 1/2 teaspoon of black peppercorns, mm-hmm, and some salt. And then 6 whole allspice. I crush them up and I put them in. And then garlic and bay leaf. And that's all there is to that. That's a little more rarefied than the others that I gave, which were a little more common. And then all there is this onion. Oh, that didn't last 2 days.
I believe that. Now, you said it can only keep for 2 weeks.
Oh, you can keep it longer than 2 weeks.
It isn't going
to spoil and it isn't going to rot, but okay, it may get so limp that you would rather have a crisper taste. I think that's the real bad thing, is it finally ends up being a limp and mushy if it's lasted for two weeks.
I was wondering something in the same line is to actually do a garlic pickle.
Oh, garlic pickles. That's very, very Thailand. Yes, and you would do what you would do for a garlic pickle. It would be to again make a pickling brine, like the Jamie recipe, where you have just cider vinegar and water and salt, cider vinegar, water and salt, and then boil the clove of garlic in that, and then take them out and put them into a marinade that has some olive oil in it. So something with olive oil and maybe some more vinegar in that. So that would be very, very much like Jamie's recipe.
What was the proportions of the cider vinegar?
Oh, for that one, it is the pickling liquid is a quart of vinegar and a quart of water. So that's 2 quarts of liquid. For the marinade, he uses only olive oil and garlic and chili. Now, the reason is you've got the vinegar already cooked into the vegetables before you put them into his pickling marinade. And so you don't need to have too much. But I don't want to say this is just to taste, but it really is. You can't go wrong.
Right. How much salt would you put in there?
Yeah, I wouldn't put any salt in. Myself, I wouldn't. But he wants 2 tablespoons of sea salt. That would limp it up a lot faster.
Right, the salt. But so you have cider vinegar
and water and salt.
Water and salt, and then you add your garlic in it.
Yes, and then you boil that. I would boil that for probably 30 minutes, and then I would take them out and put them in a marinade that has oil and vinegar, and I wouldn't have sugar.
Okay. Would you – this one doesn't have sugar at all, does it?
No.
What would happen if you put sugar in it?
It'd be sweeter.
it wouldn't destroy.
No, it would not destroy anything. No, no, and it wouldn't be wrong. Okay. It would be the sweet and sour taste of pickled garlic. You can buy pickled garlic. I tell you what you do. Try that first. Go to the Asian stores and find the jars of pickled garlic and taste it and see what you come up with. If you like the taste that's a little sweet, then have that.
You wouldn't have to you don't have to put in the oil and the oil, vinegar, and chili marinade. You don't have to cook that at all.
You don't have to cook that at all. No. There's no need to cook that. See, the garlic will be hot, and it goes into the cold marinating.
Okay. Is a chili going to be cooked already? Is it dried chili?
You can do either dried chili or a chopped serrano.
And then how long will this last? I mean, how long could you keep it?
Oh, I should think. I know that I've had the marinated garlic for at least 6 months. I got them as a gift from somebody.
Okay.
And I know that. I munched on them the other day to give me a clue as to what to do.
Because the reason I ask you is that because I put them on. Number one, I grow my own garlic.
Oh, yes.
I found a variety of hardneck garlic.
Good.
Number two, it just makes it easier to pull it out and eat it because I don't always cook with it.
Yes, indeed. And it isn't quite as strong. After you've cooked it a little bit, it won't be as strong.
Okay.
So it's a nice flavor. And and you can eat them as a condiment.
Okay. Yeah, because I use them as medicine, too.
Oh, yes.
Whenever I start thinking catching cold, I eat garlic, and I buy Indian pickled garlic.
Yes.
But I thought since I already grow my own garlic, I'd like to make it. And also, that way I'm glad to know you can do 6 months because I want.
Oh, at least 6 months, yeah.
And there's no potential of botulism?
Oh, no, not in this case.
Okay, no. So you cook it, put it in the marinade, let it sit for 24 hours, and then you can refrigerate it, correct?
Oh, indeed, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And start chomping away
at them. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We'll get one more caller here. We've got about 5 minutes left. Edgar County is the caller here, line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
David, do you want a pickled okra recipe?
Do I want a pickled okra? Well, sure. Give us a pickle. I have mixed feelings about okra, but I'm willing to try to be broad-minded.
The thing is, my family did too. Until I discovered pickled okra.
Yes, indeed.
And also, I do not like okra with tomatoes.
All right.
But there's a wonderful okra that you can get at World Harvest, which has got a slice of tomato on the bottom, and then there's a little one-inch okras, and just a very beautiful, beautiful, hardly nothing liquid in it. And so you taste the okra. It's pure. Anyway, do you want pickled okra with sugar, or do you want dilled okra?
Dilled
I have
okra.
About 10 recipes.
Do the dilled one, one without sugar.
Okay. That you have 3 pounds of young okra uncut, and I usually prick it with a pin so they don't explode when you're, you know, cooking them. And then celery leaves, cloves of garlic, large heads and stems of dill. And you have a quart of water and a pint of vinegar and a half cup of salt, and you pack the scrubbed okra into the hot sterilized pint jars, and this makes 6 pints.
Oh yes, and they're raw when you put them in there. Yeah.
And with a few celery leaves and a clove of garlic and a head and stem of dill for each jar. Make the brine of water, vinegar, and salt. Heat to boiling. Pour over the okra at once. Let stand and then seal. Let stand 3 to 4 weeks.
Now, you don't have to boil these jars in boiling water, do you?
Oh, I always sterilize the jars.
Well, that's sterilizing, but, I mean, you don't have to process them.
No.
So that's very easy, and that's one of the things I'd mention is you don't have to use sugar in all these, and what you've got then is a real good, a very, very tart pickle.
But I do love the pickled okra. Was the granulated sugar and the chili powder.
Oh, yes.
And the sliced onion and pimentos and all that. I discovered pickled okra at Macy's in New York City in the basement. That shows you how far away from Texas I was. but also another thing you want to do with pickle water is when you're making ramen noodles.
Oh,
use that as your base.
Oh, pickle water, yeah.
Or you can half and half it with regular water.
Yeah, that would be all right.
No, it is all right.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. I've never given that a thought, but I can taste that as you're telling me. That would be quite fine.
Right.
Yeah. Because what you would end up then is with There are soba noodle salads that have that stuff put on them afterwards. Well, you'd have it already built into the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, thank you very much.
I never waste as you don't probably. I never waste a pickle. Juice.
Nope. I find some place to use it, and I like the people that were smart enough to put new things in it, and it'll work. It'll work every time.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Right, thank you. Well, that's, you know, Mrs. Inge, she has this thing about soba. She likes them. She likes soba, the Japanese buckwheat noodles.
Yes.
And they're really very nice.
Oh, they're very good.
And I guess, you know, we have been casting around looking for recipes, things to do with soba. Maybe sometime we should talk, maybe just saying soba would be too much, but we could do something like, you know, Asian, like cold or room temperature Asian noodle dishes.
I tell you what you do, David.
Yes?
You get in your car and you go down to Sushi Kami and ask for the cold soba. That's what I had for lunch yesterday. And it's soba, but the sauce that is used is meme and water. And they serve ice cubes in it.
Kidding that it's cold.
Oh, no, it's the soba is cold and the meme is ice cold, and you pick it up and you drop it into that, you pick that up and drop it into your mouth. Oh, that was yesterday.
So what sort of flavors are there in this sauce, this cold sauce?
Not harsh. Mm-hmm. They're not the harshest part is the wasabi that's in it.
Oh,
but
okay.
It really isn't just as simple as saying, "Oh, we'll just do some soy sauce and water." Meme is a prepared sauce, but it's brown, and so it probably has. I don't know how to make meme. You buy it in a jar already done, a small jar, and then you mix that with a little bit of water, and that's all you have to do. You can put some lemon juice in it too, but not too much.
Hmm.
But that's all it is. That's the way you want cold soba noodles. You got it right on the head.
Right. Well, we're about the point. We got to wrap up for this time around. Any last thing you'd like to leave with folks now that everybody's in a pickle over what we've been talking about?
Well, my thought is look for ways that you could eat these things that would give you a treat. And I use the Plowman's Lunch idea from England. Where you have a pickled onion and a chunk of cheese and some fresh bread, and you just eat them as a little lunch snack, and of course the better the cheese, the better the bread, the better the onion, then the more exciting you can get about that. But using pickles, I think now I'm going to stick my neck out on this. I'm in the back of my mind. It seems that the use of these pickle things become counters to fat and extra stuff that you want to calm down a little bit. And so that eating a pickled onion with cheese seems like a very good pairing, because it cuts down the cheese. It makes
yeah.
it not I don't know I'm just I just feel that. I have no idea what it is or not. But that is the way a lot of it is used, is in counter to maybe oily things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for this time around, that's it. Doyle will be back next month, first Wednesday, and we'll find something else to talk about.
We'll find something else to talk about. You're right.
Hey, thanks very much.
And these recipes are available. They can ask for them. You can Xerox them.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Because I'm leaving all these with you.
All right, then.